This is from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 17 through verse 20. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God. What's that? An angel, right? Because it's got... Are you sure angels have wings? You know, the biblical evidence would make you have to draw a different kind of conclusion, unless you're talking about certain classes of angels. You know, there's a whole lot more to the spiritual world than a lot of times we understand. The interesting thing, though, is that Hollywood, you know, DC Comics, Marvel, they've made huge money on all the forces of darkness that the Avengers are facing. But the Avengers are just stories. I know, Tommy. Sorry about that. Sooner or later... It's so amazing how in our culture we have reserved angels for Christmas. We've taken the whole spiritual realm and it's disappeared, except for on the silver screen and entertainment, and perhaps in some Harry Potter literature. But the spiritual world is huge. And it's all about God's forces against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Ooh, that sounds so intense. It should, because it really is pretty intense. Today is St. Michael and All Angels Sunday. And it's a great Sunday to talk about something that's been pretty much encapsulated for only a certain time of the year, Christmas time. At our first service, we sang Angels We Have Heard on High. You know, because Pastor is weird and he gets to pick the music at the first service on Sunday. But it's fascinating to think about the angels. You know, there are different kinds of angels. While some of them don't have wings, some do. They're called cherubim. How many wings do they have? Only two wings. Everybody knows that. In fact, Satan is a fallen cherubim. So we know that he has wings. Now, the seraphim are really mysterious. The seraphim are only found in one place in all of Scripture. Now, none of you are the first service people, so you can't kind of go with me here. But in the Te Deum, we sing about the angels and the seraphim. And yet, there's only one place in the whole Bible where there are seraphim. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only place they are. I think there's all kinds of them. But they have six wings. And in the vision that Isaiah had, two wings covered their feet. Two wings covered their faces. And with two wings, they flew. There's a whole lot more to the angel world than meets the human eye. They don't have bodies. They do have appearance. They're smarter and stronger than human beings. And some of them have fallen, and some of them are indeed holy. There are named angels like Michael and Gabriel, and there are fallen angels like Satan, Lucifer called, and there's also another angel of destruction called Abaddon or Apollyon. The angel, the destroying angel. So there's a whole lot more going on than meets the human eye. We don't know when angels were created. Sometime within the 6 days, may have been a little earlier, but there's no way for us to nail it down. But they're a part of the spiritual realm that's so hard for us to see. We've been so trained to think of only physicalness. And yet the spiritual realm is much bigger. Paul says it this way. Let's read that first passage together. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In the heavenly realms. In the heavenly places. This is a technical term that Paul exclusively uses in Ephesians. He starts out by saying that we were raised, we who were dead in sin were made alive in Christ and seated in the heavenly places. So the heavenly places, that's where the church is. That's where you and I are all the time, in the heavenly places. And it's in those heavenly places where we are facing all kinds of spiritual warfare. In our lives, in all kinds of different ways. Some of it comes in what we're seeing. Some of it comes with what we're hearing. Some of it comes from within us, from our sinful nature. These are the places where we need help. And one of the helpers that God has ordained for us are the angels. You have an angel, and I have an angel. And it's an amazing thing to think about. And our battle is against the demons and the devil and all of his designs, all of his lies, all of his deception, all the ways that he twists and turns things. And he's been doing that for human history. It started in the Garden of Eden, where great, 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 great grandpa and grandma relinquished the authority that God had given to them for a lie. And the devil has been messing with God's wonderful creation ever since. In fact, God had to curse the earth so that we would be saved from living cursed lives forever. And the devil is out to do as much damage as he can against God's good creation and the crown of his creation, your life and my life. And so God knows what we're up against, and we have an angel. It's fascinating. You know, the devil has been judged. He's not having one hell of a great time in hell. He's being judged in hell. He is facing the wrath of God forever. But he's going to do everything he can to wreck as much as he can of what God has done in all that God has made. I saw a guy fired years ago when I was in high school. He would go to lunch on his break and go to the Silver Dollar Bar and have lunch and come back drunk. And my boss warned him over and over and over again, don't do this, don't do this. Well, it finally came to the day. And so he came back from lunch as normal and got fired. And he just lost it. And all the way out, I was working in a grocery store. And it had a huge back room, back when you had to store all your stock on site. And all the way out, it was like half of the whole store was just stories. And all the way out, he grabbed everything and anything he could to just throw it. And the old pop bottle returns in their wood cartons, he threw and they crashed. You could hear the sound and just see everything flying all the way out to the back door. He was fired, but he did as much as he could. And that's what the devil is doing. He's trying his best to wreck everything he can before judgment day comes and forever begins. And he's doing it in your life and my life. And his band of demons are also in the details. And yet, hell was made for the devil. Hell was made for the devil and his demons. Matthew 25, verses 41. Thank God we have angels that have remained faithful to God so that in this epic battle that's going on beyond the pale of our physical eyesight, we know that there are angels doing God's bidding. Now in Colossians 2:18, we are told not to worship angels. It's interesting. Paul actually says this. So here's where the battle is. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. He's going through the back of the grocery store. He's trying to wreck as much as he can, because that's all he can do. And yet the good news is that we have angels watching over us, taking care of us. As I said earlier, we're not to worship angels. In fact, this is what Paul says. Let's read this together. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Oh, I didn't know that. And if the world is to be judged by you, oh, you're a saint. Are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? Paul's pastoral rhetoric is interesting. Don't you know? Well, in a lot of ways, I didn't know that. But please know it now. Paul's implication here is you and I are wise enough to do all kinds of things, to care for each other, giving good judgments about various things. But here's the deal. At the end of time, we'll be judging the angels. They may be stronger than we are, no more than we are, but they are not the objects of redemption. We are. And it's pretty powerful to think about what they are all about. What are they all about? The faithful angels do God's bidding. They are faithful. They're not like we are so often, missing the target or crossing over the boundary, trespassing. They are faithful to God. And they are faithful in God's bidding, taking care of us, doing judgment. I mean, there's a place in 2 Kings 1935, where 185,000 soldiers from Sennacherib's army are killed by the angel of the Lord. So the good angels will also exercise God's judgment. We're also very familiar with how they announce all kinds of good things. We hear how the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah. Zechariah didn't really want to believe the message. But then to a virgin teenager, Mary, who took him at his word. You see, that's what messengers, the Malach Yahweh, the messenger of the Lord, the Lord gives him the message, and when he's going, he doesn't say, no, I don't like what God said there. I'm going to do this. He's just giving the message of the Lord. And that's what these angels, the good angels, are doing. They are simply telling us the truth. They are giving us God's word. The devil and his demons, they are doing nothing but casting out and throwing around as many lies and falsehoods and deceptions as possible. But the good angels are just faithful in God's bidding. We know what it's like when the birth of Jesus comes and the angels break forth and sing glory to God. Why do they do that? Because they didn't know what was going to unfold until it unfolded. They don't have God's whole plan. They had longed to see what was going on, along with the prophets. And when Jesus comes, they're filled with joy. They tell the shepherds the good news. And then God keeps the young family safe from all kinds of threat to the little baby boy Jesus. And the angels go on doing all kinds of things. It's interesting. You know, angels and the place of angels in God's plan of salvation for us, it may seem quite distant for us. But for, like, the first century church, for instance, an angel comes and gets Peter out of prison. He thinks he's in a dream. So he goes to his friends, knocks on the door. Rhoda is so overwhelmed, she runs back, doesn't open the door, and her friends say, well, don't worry, that wasn't Peter, that was his angel. I mean, that's how quickly they made those kind of changes. We think about angels only when, if even then, when it's time to put the angel on the tree, right? But the angels are so much more a part of your life and my life. I used to publish a picture. I don't think I've ever done it here, but I have a picture of a church service going on, and it is robust. There's only a few people sitting in the pews, and there's a guy up front playing a guitar and singing. And you see all these angels all over the place. You know, they're coming through the walls, and it's like, do we really know how many are here today? When you think about the angels and the powers that are keeping us safe from the darkness. I mean, think about it. The spiritual world is so much bigger. Maybe they're peeking through the wall. Who knows? Wave at them. There's so much more to it. And I'm not just trying to be, making fun of this. This is profoundly comforting, and it's profoundly intense at the same time. To think about what God's angels do. And they still care for us. Now, I know we're not Zechariah, we're not Mary, we're not Joseph, but what God is doing through his angels for you and me is just as important to God. Because we're valuable to God. And so he's at work. Sending his angels to watch over us, to care for us. It's not just a joke for kids. It's not just a cute story of nostalgia long ago. It's about now. It's about in your life and my life. The angels are there to watch and warn and care for us. I mean, Jesus just blows me away. There's two different gospel readings for this Sunday. The other one is from Matthew 18. And Jesus says this. It's just so profound. He says this in Matthew 18 in verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. And this whole idea of little ones is a technical term in Matthew's gospel, and we're included in those little ones. We're the children of God. For I tell you, here's the point. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Think about that connection. So the angel taking care of Zachary, if I may say his name, is still seeing the face of God in heaven. That's how intimately connected heaven and earth are. I mean, that's the way Jesus feels about it. I mean, that just blows my mind. I can't fathom these kind of spiritual dynamics that go against the grain of all kinds of other things, but this is the truth and this is the comfort for us. I mean, it's interesting. So we have this epic battle between the good angels and the bad angels. We see it in John's Revelation, chapter 12, the Christmas story according to John, where the devil is depicted as a red dragon. I know where my kin come from in Norway, they have these Stava churches, and they have fire-breathing dragons at the peaks of them. You know, this is the battle that we are against. The Leviathan, the devil, and his raging demons. And it's not an easy thing to deal with for us. And yet, this is what our life is about. Your life and my life. I mean, it's fascinating to hear the disciples say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What were they going about doing? They were messengers for the Lord too. Unlike the angels, maybe they didn't always feel so good about it. It was hard for them to do their work. But they realized as they were lifting high the message of what Jesus was coming to do, the demons were subject to them in connection with Jesus. Is your life and my life, is your mission and ministry any different than that? What are we doing? I can't tell you how many times in my ministry over the years have I prayed with people. They're afraid, they're angry, they're bitter, they're stuck with something of the past. They're dealing with some kind of issue now, and it's like they say, gosh, I just feel so much better. How many times in those occasions were people simply being held captive by demons that had no right to them and were forced to leave because the name of Jesus was spoken? So when people are sad, when they're frightened, when they're plumb full of guilt, tell them about what Jesus has done. I mean, how many times will it be that a demon will have to leave? We don't know. We're not to even rejoice in that. Certainly we're to exercise that kind of power in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships as a congregation. But what we are to rejoice in is not what we're about in mission and ministry. That's just what we're supposed to do. What we are to rejoice in is that we've been rescued. And our names are written in heaven. And no matter how much the battle rages in your life and my life, we have Jesus. And this is our confidence. We heard it in chapter 12 of Revelation 11. And they have conquered him. This is the red dragon, who with his demons are making war against the church. We have who have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, the testimony of the apostles. So you and I have victory in Jesus. It doesn't matter how you've fallen short in thought, word, and action. It doesn't matter what kind of stuff you bring here today. Leave free because of the blood of Jesus and what Christ has done for you. And have this confidence. Have this confidence in him. And hold to the testimony of the apostles. You know, it's the word that brings us to faith. It's the word that keeps us in the faith. It's the word that reminds us of things like angels. Now, God willing, after St. Michael and all angels, you'll have a more robust picture of the different categories of angels. I won't test you on the way out. But these things have been recorded so that we can have comfort. Because this is the truth as well. There's plenty of challenges in your life and my life. There's a lot of darkness every day that we have to deal with. Why not deal with it in the confidence of Jesus who gives us a victory? Why not speak the name of Jesus to one another? How many times are we casting out demons? God only knows. Simply share what you yourself need so that you can live free and in the confidence of what God has done, trusting that you are being cared for. And that you are part of God's team, along with the angels, in pushing back the darkness and giving people comfort, encouraging them in their lives and in their walk with the Lord. You know, that's what it's all about. As those who have our names written in heaven. Now, so it still might not hurt to say with tongue in cheek that you certainly have an angel that cares for you and that you best not drive faster than they can fly. But I have an idea that those beings can get around pretty fast. So maybe I should just simply say, don't drive as fast as your angel can fly. But take comfort in the care he gives you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.